We hope people will read the signs and comply.
Still, it will be a sticker system.
So it's a sticker system?
Yeah.
And is that like during business hours? Would there be something available overnight, or is that the whole time?
It depends on the uses, because there might be, if a restaurant were to go in there, we might want to use some for the restaurant.
I was just trying to figure out, is there any availability to Jay's question of visitor parking, you know, any dual use of any of that space?
It could be during the weekends.
Just because it is such a thing.
Could be during the weekends.
So you said it's going to be governed by an HOA?
Yeah.
And that will include a restriction on short-term rentals. Will there be any other restrictions? For example, it looks nice, open and air, you know, a lot of open air now, but if 34 vinyl fences go up, I think that would really change the nature of this. So, you know, would there be other type of aesthetic?
There will be, yes.
Okay. And then who controls the HOA? So if somebody comes in, well, how easily will the HOA rules be changed? They sound great now, but if they change a year into it?
Well, generally, to change those kind of restrictions requires like a supermajority.
Like a supermajority, okay.
Yeah.
That would be helpful. All right. I think that's it. Thank you.
Sure.
Jack, I didn't hear the number of commercial parking places there. Are they in the, are there commercial in the site? Or do you have commercial spaces in the site?
Yes.
Yes. There are two parking lots proposed.
Right.
One access is from New Haven, the other access is from Troy. It's, it totals 27 parking spaces.
Okay, thank you. I didn't hear that number.
Yep.
Thank you very much. Are you complete now?
We are.
Okay, I'm going to open up to the public.
Sure.
At this time, is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this application? Please come, if you're sworn, please.
Name and address, please.
My name is Bill Kontrowski. Our address is 22 North Troy Avenue in Ventnor, which coincidentally is right across the street. That's our front yard, I didn't realize it.
I'm sorry, say your name again?
Kontrowski, Bertram.
Could you move closer to the mic, or put it up and then be a little closer to the mic? Yes. Sworsky.
TW.
Sworsky. Okay, Mr. Sworsky, you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
My concern is more of a health issue. A building of that age might have asbestos. Has an asbestos survey been done, and does it comply with the EPA for removal? And when they demolish that building, what happens to the asbestos? Will it be in the air?
No.
We know that, we're aware that asbestos can cause asbestosis.
Sir, let me put it this way. There are state regulations regarding demolition of buildings, and they're regarding the management of asbestos. The Ventnor City Building Department will handle that. The planning board does not handle that. But there are specific regulations, and there are qualified licensed contractors to do that work.
Okay, I was very concerned about that for all the citizens.
I'm glad you are. But there are people that are qualified. It's a very regulated industry.
Thank you.
Hello.
Name and address, please.
Put that down now for yourself. Okay.
My name is Cynthia Ogan. I live at 128 North New Haven. On my street recently.
I'm going to swear you in. Can you say your name again? I'm sorry, I got it right.
Cynthia. Last name is Ogan, O-G-E-N. 128 North New Haven.
Okay, Ms. Ogan, do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give me the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
On my street recently, we've had 4 and now going to be 5 new homes put up. Therefore, they have taken a lot of our parking spaces. My house does not have a driveway or a garage. I have to park on the street, and it is getting very crowded. My concern is if these people have overdrafts or parties, they're going to come down to my street. I have in the past parked 3 blocks away from my house because there was no parking. And I'm in my 80s and I'm handicapped. And this is my concern, plus the fact turning onto New Haven is going to be a backup from Ventnor Avenue. Because those who live on New Haven and those who are going to live in the projects are going to back up. That is what I have to say.
Thank you.
Okay.
Wait, okay. We have, she was first, you're next. Yes, you're jackpot.
My name's Maggie Pilates, and I live at 12 North Richards Avenue, and I'm ready.
Ms. Pilates, do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give would be the truth?
Yes.
What street was that?
My husband.
North Richards, right?
North Richards.
Okay.
The street with the medical building. And that's my point. We take all their parking, so parking is always a problem on our street. And I appreciate all the work you did on drive parking and two, three units for parking for each building. But if anybody lives in this area within two blocks of this particular complex, you're going to know that we don't have parking, especially in the summer. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So that was one thing. And the only other thing I want to say, and it's because my husband and I are paying attention really well, we went around all the new builds within two blocks of us and measured them, and there are none that are less than 24 feet. These are 70 width. So I'm not sure aesthetically that this is going to fit with the neighborhood. And I also appreciate your point that maybe we could do with a few less as far as density. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you all for all your work.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman.
Yes. Please.
Hi, Catherine Francis, 25 North New Haven. As many of you may know, we stood here about 2 years ago, made a major investment on the corner of New Haven and Winchester Avenue. Yes, I do. So we stood in front of this same planning board trying to update our family home. I think we've been told multiple times that 34 units had been shut down and that there were going to be less units on the property. At least that was the word on the street from some of the previous meetings. I think we all appreciate what you guys are trying to do and redevelop that plot of land. I think the stuff at the professional building in the front is amazing, but I'll be frank. I mean, anybody in the real estate industry and anywhere else is going to tell you that is way too many units. You can talk about your redevelopment plan all you want for the acreage, but the bottom line is we're splitting this. This is not mixed use. You can say that all you want, but the reality for the people who live on that street, you've got a professional building in the front that has small children in there, a fire department across the street. I'm assuming y'all will allow them to just blow their water right in your front, right all over your houses to do their training. Half of those parking spots we talk about on New Haven are not available to the public. They are set aside for use by the firehouse only. So I think those are the things, that's why we're here. 34 units is too many. And I think you said it very nicely to say eliminate a few. The going back out in front onto Winchester Avenue to have that many units have driveways with direct access behind the firehouse is honestly absurd. I don't know how else to say it. I appreciate the work and the money and the effort that's gone into the project, but the bottom line is this is the first time that the real residents got a letter in their mailbox telling us that this was actually going to happen. I'll call your attention to this old lot next to Sapore that we've been told how many times everyone's going to redevelop. We've been told over and over again. That's why people are here tonight. This was the first time that a letter went into the mailbox within 200 feet. So I would suggest that we all have a larger conversation with the city about what the redevelopment plan is about in this particular location. We all sat nicely and listened to what we're going to do down by the movie theater and all of the other things. As everybody has brought out, unless you've lived there, unless you sat there, unless you sat on your balcony and watched, we're talking about traffic patterns. What about the people walking to the beach? How are they going to get by? None of those crosswalks back on Winchester are adequate. Stop signs, we talk about one-way streets. Do you know how many people come the wrong way up Winchester? So again, I'm not gonna get into specifics because we do want this development to happen. I think we all do, but we need to be realistic about the density in that area. and not just make it check a box because somebody said this acreage gets this. That's not what this project is about. It's too important of a piece of land. There are other businesses in that area. While yes, increased traffic will be great, but have we talked about how they're going to accommodate that? We're talking about 27 spots. Are those for the people that work there or the people that are visiting there, dropping their kids off at the preschool, taking their kids to dance every day? So I think that's some of the stuff that the city and the board need to understand, that we can't just make rash decisions and say, well, this falls within the guidelines, and shrug our hands. So that's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, sir. Or ma'am. Yes, yes, ma'am.
My name is Elaine Francis. My address is 104 South Dudley Avenue, but I also own the home at 25 North New Haven Avenue. Okay. You just heard from my daughter-in-law a few minutes ago.
Ms. Francis, you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give me the truth?
I do.
Okay, thanks.
So, as you heard, my family has owned that property at 25 North New Haven Avenue since 1966. So clearly we are invested in this neighborhood. And at that time, my parents, my grandmother, and I moved into this wonderful neighborhood. In 2010, when my mother passed away, my son and his future wife, my daughter-in-law that you just heard from, told me of their interest of moving from beautiful Miami to Ventnor, and I allowed them to do that. Since then, they've been here for 15 years, and they've since welcomed a son. So as you could see, five generations of my family have lived in that home. In an attempt to upgrade that home, we stood before you, as pointed out, 2 years ago, to make major investments and renovations into that home. I can honestly say that had we known that there would be a plan to construct 34 townhomes across the street, I highly doubt that we would have made such a major investment. So I have a number of issues to raise this evening, and I'll first start with the process of notifying the community of this plan. When we were making arrangements for the renovations, we had to notify the neighbors before the planning board meeting in advance. And those renovations just included adding a story to the home and making modifications to the internal structure of the home, all of which did not change the footprint. That's why I found it appalling that the community was only recently made aware of the extremely copious changes being proposed for the neighborhood. I first became aware of the plan on Facebook when someone, not the city, posted that there was going to be a discussion about the plans at a planning board meeting scheduled for that same evening. When there was an uproar to that posting, the discussion of the plans was removed from that agenda. Shortly after that, a certified letter was sent to the neighborhood telling us that an application for the Coastal Area Facilities Review Act individual permit was sent to the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection. That letter included a site development plan and indicated that the application could be reviewed at the city offices and that we could submit comments to the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection. The second notice was received about 2 weeks ago, and that informed us of this planning board meeting, and that the plans again and application were available to review at City Hall. I went to City Hall to look at the submission. I was given several large packets that I see all of you have on your desks here that included the site development plan and architectural drawings of the designs of the individual townhomes. I was also handed a document entitled Traffic Engineering and Air Quality Assessment. I was shown to a table that had a small table lamp where I could review these documents. The plans were so large that they did not fit on the table and they kept falling off. The area was so dimly lit that it was difficult to read the plans and the document. I stood there for over 30 minutes, flipping through both. The table was high, so there wasn't room for a chair available for me to sit on. I asked why these were not posted on the city's website, making the point that it would have been a lot easier for me and others to review these documents. and that the materials would have been accessible to many neighbors whose primary homes are out of town or those who work during the hours that the city hall is open. I was told that they, whoever they are, want it this way. I don't understand why the city is making it difficult for taxpaying citizens of Ventnor to review plans that will likely upend their neighborhood. So these comments have first focused on the lack of what I view as appropriate notification of such a major disruptive enterprise on the community and the inadequate accommodations for reviewing the plans. Now I'd like to turn my attention to what I found in those documents and also what I didn't find in those documents. I'm not going to make any specific comments on the site development plans and drawings of the configurations since I'm not an engineer or an architect, and I'm going to leave those comments to those who are more qualified. However, I will state the obvious that I am against the construction of these townhomes, the number of these townhomes, and the destruction of the neighborhood in general. And I will point out that the plans did not include many components that one would expect for such a large undertaking. I will comment, however, on subjects that I am more qualified to discuss. I asked repeatedly to see a copy of the environmental impact assessment. I was given a copy of the aforementioned document on traffic and air quality and told that that was all that the office had. So let me first talk about the inadequacy of this document. For one, they concluded that, quote, in the vicinity of the site, there is significant parking supply. I don't know how they could conclude this, and we've heard a little bit about it today. The so-called parking supply is for the taxpaying citizens who live in the area, and they have to compete for these spaces with those patrons who want to support the business district that we find here. There are many businesses in the area that patrons want to frequent, and this is true both in the off-season as well as during the summer. It's extremely difficult to find an open parking spot for those individuals who want to dine at Velo, get their mani-pedis at Jackie's, or run into Dollar General. So I'm not sure how they concluded that parking supply is significant. Also, as my daughter-in-law pointed out, a number of those spots are reserved for the fire department. And so they are basically off for use by anybody else. The report also indicated that traffic was monitored on two dates in late June, both in the same week. Based on this monitoring, they concluded that dispersion monitoring for air pollutants was not required. Monitoring traffic on just 2 days within a couple of days of each other is not very scientific. I say that because I am a scientist. In addition, they did it when school was not in session. Conducting monitoring during the school year would give a very different assessment, as I and other parents and grandparents who have traveled in that area can attest to. Plus, there are 3 parking spaces for each townhome. That means, theoretically, there may be an additional 100 cars in the vicinity on the go. Yet the report did not comment on this. So there's inadequate information on current air quality. There aren't any projections of what the impact of residents in these new townhomes would have, nor are there projections of the impact of the active construction of the townhomes would have on air quality. But air is just one component of the environment. We live on a barrier island and our environment is fragile. There is no information provided on what the impact of having 34 townhomes, each with 1, 2, or more occupants, would have on water and sewage or on the electrical grid. Has their impact on flooding been considered? Will these new structures result in increased flood insurance costs for all of us? FEMA has been imploded, so are you looking at other sources of assistance should these townhomes prove to be an issue? Has there been an assessment of what the impact of 34, 68, 102 or more residents would have on emergency resources, police, firefighters, ambulance accessibility? Educational resources are stretched and limited, so has the impact on our schools been assessed? Has the impact of construction itself and that of residents of the townhomes on trash collecting resources been evaluated? So going back to the notice that we received that an application was sent in to the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection, I didn't really understand what was included in CAFR, so I looked it up and found that, according to them, the application shall include an environmental impact statement, which shall provide information needed to evaluate the effects of a proposed development upon the environment of the coastal area. But yet, there wasn't an assessment that was included in the documents that were filed with City Hall. They further indicate that they will make their assessment on the findings of, in the proposed development to ensure that it conforms with all applicable air, water, and radiation emissions, that it prevents air emission and water effluents in excess of the existing dilution, that it provides for the collection and disposal of litter, recyclable material, and so forth. So my question is, was this information gathered and submitted to the state? And if so, why was it not included in the package that was available at City Hall? So in conclusion, the process for informing the taxpaying citizens, the vetter of this plan for this new construction, has lacked, in my opinion, and I think of many of the neighbors that I have, has lacked transparency, accessibility, and completeness. The impact of the townhomes on our fragile environment has not been adequately assessed or made transparent. And I'm greatly concerned that the congestion this project will result in and the potential damage it may cause to Ventnor's resources. So thanks for this time.
I'd just like to reply to...
Yes.
Go ahead.
Thanks for your comments. With respect to transparency, one of the things I want to point out to the board was before we even started this project, we did send out notices, even though we weren't required. We did have, we tried to have a community meeting in Santucci's. We sent out notices to all 200-foot property owners to tell them that this is what we were doing. So for somebody to say we didn't try to be transparent, I would, you know, just disagree with that respectfully.
Wait a minute. We have one person talking, right. One person will talk. We're not going to have a dialogue here. So we'll get their statements, and that's the way the public portion is run.
The second thing, well, there's three things. The second thing is that these units will all be flood compliant as required to meet FEMA, so that the insurance rates in the Ventnor community will not be adversely affected. And finally, there will be... the Ventnor checklist doesn't require the full CAFRA application, but we did file a full CAFRA application, and it will be available for any of the neighbors to review, and it does address all environmental impacts. This site happens to be a redevelopment site that was fully developed, so you don't have a typical impact on dunes, threatened endangered species, wetlands, and those kinds of things. So just wanted to try to clarify that. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Please come forward.
Name and address, please.
Sure. Kelly Hargadon, 7 North New Haven.
Ms. Hargadon, do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
I want to comment on the Santucci's letter. That wasn't on my list, but I did get it, and I came. I just wanted to let you know. And in the beginning, you know, there were a lot of people asking questions, but one thing you said, you took like our names and addresses and emails, and you were going to keep us up to date.
Speak into the microphone.
Yes. They kept a list of the people who came with our names and addresses and emails, saying they would keep us up to date. And I don't think I ever got an email. Maybe my email wasn't written down correctly. But regardless, I did get your original letter. I do have a couple questions, and I have them in my phone. Out of the 27 parking spots that are for your front building, how many commercial tenants do you propose?
Seven or eight tenants are in the building at full capacity.
At full capacity? So you propose that you have enough parking for them?
The building's 24,000 square feet.
Right. I'm saying, how many tenants do you hope to have in the building?
I think we'll have seven or eight businesses.
Seven or eight.
We're all said and done, yes.
Okay. So you think the lot that you have proposed for your commercial is going to be enough parking for all of those, correct? Okay. In the actual units themselves, you proposed three parking spots. Are two of them inside of a garage, or...
Ma'am, make your statement.
You don't want me to look at them?
Between you and the applicant.
Well, she is allowed to ask questions for the professionals.
You can add questions.
Okay.
But make a statement.
But you can direct it to...
Okay, that's fine.
Direct it that way, and that way, and then if there's need to answer for the professionals, you can do that.
I understand.
Okay, thank you.
I'm just used to looking at the person I'm asking the question to. So I'd like to know about the parking spots for the condos. Are there two spots inside of a garage, or is there one garage spot and two outside in the driveway?
It's two inside and one outside.
So two inside, is it side by side, or are they front and back?
They're front and back.
Okay. So that means that you have to pull one car in and then the other car behind it, right? Is that what you're saying, to shut the garage door?
That's correct. It's pretty commonplace in an urban setting, especially on the battery ride.
Okay. My next question is, can you show me on the plan, like where the one-way street is coming into New Haven onto your Wayland Court? Could you show me like specifically where my house is across the street? Because I am directly across the street from the current street that's there, or the opening into the parking lot.
So, which one is yours?
Yeah, I'm seven, so I'm right across from the current open park, yes.
So, well, it's actually relatively easy answer, because the location of this driveway is nearly identical to the location of the roadway.
So it's staying right where it's at?
Yeah, within a couple of minutes.
Okay. Okay, which leads me to my next concern. My question was going to be to the traffic engineer, but I think it was clarified that he did his traffic report in late June. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. Don't you think there would be a need to do it, like comparing, like, a full summer season to maybe an off season or something like that? I mean, I'd invite you all to come sit on my porch and you could watch the traffic from there. There's a lot of traffic just for the businesses that are out front now with some of the restaurants and so forth. And then with some of the new tenants they have in there. I mean, they're doing a great job with the tenants and I think it's lovely for the community. But there's a lot of traffic with people picking up their kids from dance every hour on the hour, Monday through Friday. And I see it every day. But my concern is more about, I think the traffic is much different, as you all know, in the summer than it is in the off season. But doing the traffic report in June, I don't think that's the best time to do it. And then my next question is, currently you said with the parking on New Haven and Troy with the sideway parking, there's 63 or 66 spots. You said there will be 43 after. Does that include the fireman parking currently or in the future?
So when you say the fireman parking, are you speaking about parking on Winchester or parking on New Haven?
New Haven. I'm talking about New Haven right now.
And the answer is yes, it does include those spaces.
Okay, so we'll be going down to 43. So does that mean the firemen are losing parking spots as well as the residents or business parking, whatever you want to call it?
So all that, and it kind of goes to what I talked about before. That striping that's on the streets is not really dictated by the developer. How it's their city-owned spaces. So how the city wishes to stripe it and use it is the city's decision. That's why I also made the comment about it's 66 spaces of cars parking there, but the spaces are not actually compliant with, or some of them are not compliant with the city's laws. The striping plan that we show that will reduce the parking down to 43 makes them all fully compliant. If the city would like to modify the striping or allocate spaces however they see fit, that's not our client's control, but we're the only effect we're having on that on-street parking is our driveways, and then we are requesting to eliminate the parking on Winchester. The balance of that parking, how it's used and how it's striped, is entirely up to the city.
Okay. And then the Winchester parking that the firemen currently use is going to stay as is? Yes? On Winchester.
Are you covering about the space in front of the fire?
Yes, correct. That's staying as is? Okay. Okay. All right, that's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Mary Lenahan, 126 North Troy.
Ms. Lenahan, do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes, I do. I just want to say thank you for having this meeting, and it's really nice to see so many of our neighbors here who all care about Ventnor. I've lived here for 35 years, and I've seen the city grow and change in many ways, much positive, not always positive. I had concerns about the loss of the parking on Winchester across from the doctor's office, the pediatrician. I walk by there on a daily basis, three or four times a day, and I see those parking spaces are going to be gone. So that's a concern of mine, since the pediatrician isn't going to have all that parking. I know they have a small parking lot, but those 10 spots that are there currently will be gone with 8 units, which I don't know how they're going to fit 8 units in that tiny little space. My other concerns are, I wonder if the planners, I heard, and I'm sorry, I don't know anybody's name, but I wonder if you've considered the 4 large sycamores that are on the end closest to Winchester on Troy. I'm a naturalist. I'm also, I work with U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and I'm an educator, and I see those trees, and one of the trees is probably as old as the buildings themselves. The other 3 aren't as old. I'm estimating about 50 years old, but I'm not an arborist. And I heard that all the landscaping was going to be cut down and uniform. Are there any plans for saving those trees? I'm also a member of the Ventnor Green Team. I'm not speaking on behalf of the Green Team. I am speaking on behalf of myself and as a concerned resident. But I'm very concerned if you bring those a picture up of those trees on the satellite image on Google, you will see that these trees are massive. They provide shade. And one of the trees also hosts a nest of yellow-crowned night herons. They've been nesting in this tree for the last 7 years. As a naturalist and as a birder, I do monitor the nest, and I report the findings of the nest to New Jersey Fish and Wildlife. And so they've been successful every year for the last 7 years. For 2 years, they had 2 nests in one of the sycamore trees, and this year the nest successfully fledged 2 young. Yellow-crowned night herons are an endangered species. Well, I'm sorry, they're a threatened species in the state of New Jersey. And with all the trees that are cut down indiscriminately throughout town, and I know that's a little harsh, but I've lived here for 35 years and I've seen the trees come down. People take them down because they don't want the birds nesting. I see this development going in. I cannot imagine 34 new homes and new families with over 100 cars and 100 people coming into the space. And those very large, four large sycamores, I really hope that the city has plans, or the project has plans, to keep those four sycamores. It would be a shame to lose. One of them has a diameter, I can barely put my arms all the way around the tree. And I think that's all I wanted to say. Oh, yellow-crowned night herons are protected by the Migratory Bird Treaty Act of 1918. This was signed by Woodrow Wilson. And in this act, it states it is unlawful to disturb a native bird nest without a permit. Like I said, New Jersey Fish and Wildlife knows about this nest, and they know that I monitor these nests, not in an official capacity, but as a citizen scientist. And I would hope that these trees can be protected and preserved, and that the yellow-crowned night herons are allowed to continue to nest there. And I also want to piggyback on these wonderful speakers before me that I am very concerned about parking. I've lived on Troy Avenue for a very long time, and I have seen all the parking spaces disappear. And most of the time in the summer, I park last summer, 4th of July, six blocks away. So if you live here, you know what the parking is like. And I appreciate everybody's time, and I know it's late. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You. Are you going to keep those trees?
We will investigate their specific location to see if they're possible.
They're right here. You know those trees. They're cute. They're right here.
No, I know what trees are coming. I mean, specifically where their trunk sits as compared to where it fell. That's what I'm saying.
What about the night crown, the herons?
So we have a pending application with the Department of Environmental Protection.
You do?
Yes.
State?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, I'm a fifth grade teacher, so I'm used to being very vulnerable.
Okay, is there anywhere else who wishes to make comment? Hearing none and seeing no further requests, the public portion is now closed. Mr. Flachter? Mr. Flachter, you have the floor. You may take a moment.
Can we take 5 minutes to yes. Take into account the comments?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
There'll be a 5-minute recess. We're off the record. We're on the record. This meeting is now back in session and on the record.
Thank you. First of all, we appreciate everybody's comments and appreciate the board's comments as well. They're really good. We'd like to, you know, ask for a little bit of time to come and take into account some of the comments and come back to the board. So if you could respectfully, if we could ask for a continued date so we don't have to re-notice, we would consider, you know, perhaps brick, changing the side elevations a little bit and look at some of the other things that were mentioned tonight, if that would work.
That's up to the board, but I see no problem, but I'll ask for the board.
Just try to get a date.
Just need a date.
When is available? When would you like to come back, first of all?
Well, when's the next regular meeting?
Carmel, when is there a space?
November 12th, but that's completely full.
Okay.
December 10th?
I'm sorry, December 10th?
Mm-hmm.
Is there any chance we could get another special meeting maybe, or does it work?
What is that?
Is there any chance we get another closer date to December 10th?
November 24th? That's our next meeting, and that was an as needed.
It's the Monday of Thanksgiving week.
I won't be here then.
December 12th. You and I can't be here for 12. We'll be bringing team that night.
December 10th.
That's fine.
No, November 12th.
November, we have a full agenda.
We have one staff, two variances, two variances.
We have these.
Two D variances.
The 12th, I'm in Brigantine team that night.
What's that?
The 12th of November, I'm in Brigantine team that night, so I can't be here that night.
Well, it's full too. It's full anyhow.
Yeah. So I'm saying.
We do a special meeting.
Listen, December work.
December 10th?
Yep.
December 10th.
Can everybody make that? We're good here?
I can't even. December 10th, I can make.
Bus trip around for the city in New York.
Okay. Just wanted to have a bus ticket.
Full board, or you want your tickets?
You could tell Peter and Gaskell.
Greer.
If they want to participate, they can come, they can listen to the tape of this hearing.
Okay.
But if they don't have.
Jack, December 10th is your date? We'll get the board, we'll have the board here.
Is there a chance we could just pay for a special meeting, or does that work or not? Before the 10th?
Let's see. We got a holiday in there. We got Thanksgiving. 20 days away.
How many applications are on the 10th?
Four.
And we have two use variances in there.
November 12th is four.
We can start up, we can start the one earlier.
Yeah, the 22nd, you do that the week before.
Lance?
What's the date you're talking about now?
The 12th, which has two deep, four applications.
I'm not available.
Lance isn't going to be there.
24th, he's not available.
All right, I'm on this special meeting on the 17th.
10th of what?
17th.
November 12th. Can we do it, we start at 5:30?
Commissioner's going to be, he's not going to be here.
He can't be here, okay.
17th or the 19th of what?
19th of what?
November.
I think those both, 17th or 19th would work.
Can we do, anybody, can the 19th of November be used?
19th of November? I'm available, it's a Wednesday night.
Right, yes.
It's league, but.
It's league municipalities.
That's like the banner of the day.
That's the league of municipalities.
The whole week.
I mean, the better.
It is a league, yeah.
I think we're stuck with the 10th of December. I got to put some stuff around, so I can break it.
The 18th?
Okay, Lee. You have any other days, Leo?
I'm fine, whatever the board wants to do. I mean, I'll, unless I have to be somewhere else, I can move stuff around.
The 17th is tough for me.
How about the 18th?
18th, I'm fine.
November 18th, you're fine?
Yep.
Can anybody do November 18th? That's a Tuesday, right?
It is.
I can't.
That's the first day of the league.
Can you do, you do it? Roger, can you do it?
What was the date? That's the 18th.
The league.
That's the first day of the league.
That's the first day of the league of municipalities.
but it's...
I can't go to nighttime stuff anyway, so I'm available.
I mean, I could find it at 19.
All right. Done at 5.
What is this?
Done at 5.
Well, let's try for November 18th.
Well, we can't try, we have to let all these folks...
I'm going to just say right now, board members, we are on the 18th of November would be a special meeting, so we can schedule this thing. Lance, you're okay? You're okay?
We were asked to speak at the VBA meeting that evening, but we could ask them to schedule it.
So we're going with...
6:30?
Fine by me.
6:30, November 18th will be the day.
And so special meeting, we'll publish it for November 18th, 6:30 PM. That's a Tuesday night in this room. You're not going to get a new note. The applicant's not required to republish or renotice, so this is your official notice to come back on the 18th. And, you know, hopefully it'll be a little streamlined. You can put all the testimony on apart from the public.
Does everybody understand that? You folks in the audience understand that? Mostly nodding heads.
That is a confirmed date.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, 6:30, it's confirmed. Okay. I thank everyone for coming this evening.
Hey, Dave.
I have a motion to adjourn, please.
So move.
So that's all in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned.
The only one who wants to go home.